get a decrease in representation.
The adopted redistricting map takes one final review on Monday, and the final list of candidates for Haines Assembly seat E appointment. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and much more up next. There are more suspected cases of paralytic shellfish poisoning in southeast Alaska. Two men were hospitalized on Wednesday after eating mussels harvested in Ketchikan. Local health officials are warning residents not to consume certain types of locally harvested shellfish. The state has issued public service announcements and is posting signs in communities warning of the danger. In the Ketchikan area, scientists are finding some of the highest concentrations of PSP toxins ever recorded. In addition to the most recent cases, a Ketchikan man was hospitalized in late May after eating clams harvested from South Point Higgins Beach. A Metlakatla man who consumed cockles harvested from an Annette Island beach was medevaced to Ketchikan last week after developing PSP symptoms. Early signs of PSP include tingling of the lips and tongue. Symptoms may progress to tingling of the fingers and toes, then loss of control of the arms and legs, followed by difficulty breathing. Death from paralytic shellfish poisoning can occur within 2 hours of consuming contaminated shellfish. All locally harvested shellfish, including clams, mussels, oysters, geoducks, and scallops, can contain paralytic shellfish poisoning. Commercially harvested shellfish is tested for PSP and considered safe. The candidate list is final for possible appointment to the Haines Borough Assembly's seat E. The seat opened last month when a Juneau Superior Court judge ruled that Greg Goodman, who was elected to the Assembly last fall, did not fill residency requirements. The Assembly decided late last month to take letters of interest from community members who want to fill the vacant seat until the next election in October. That period to submit letters closed Wednesday evening when 11 people had turned in letters to the borough. In no particular order, requests came in from full-time resident Wayne Hirsch, recent Assembly member Norm Smith, and Karen Hess, who lost the seat to Goodman by 100 votes last October and challenged his residency in court. Also submitting letters were John O'Green, a resident since the early 1980s, Excursion Inlet resident Deborah Gordon, Director of Public Facilities Brad Maynard, resident David Knipe, river guide and carpenter John Hirsch, and Gary Hess, former chairman of the Upperland Canal Fishing Game Advisory Committee. Library and Community Foundation board member Joanne Ross Cunningham and Chilkat Indian Village Tribal Administrator John Brower also submitted letters of interest in appointment to Haines Assembly seat E. The Haines Assembly meets in a special meeting Monday night to make the appointment. That meeting, open to the public, is Monday, June 13th at 6 p.m. at Assembly Chambers in the Public Safety Building. Alaska politicians may no longer have to know their ABCs, but they better mind their P's and Q's. That's because Alaska's redistricting board has changed the numbers and letters associated with House and Senate districts. A, B, and C are the letters currently on the Panhandle Senate seats. The board's redistricting plan, released Tuesday, June 7th, consolidates them into districts P and Q. The region lost half a Senate seat and a full House seat to the Rail Belt due to population shifts. Numbers used to label House seats also change. Fairbanks, for example, gets District 1, which for years has been Ketchikan's. Skagway and Excursion Inlet's district is now called 32P, and Haines and Kluckwan's is 34Q. Redistricting Board Executive Director Taylor Bickford says member Marie Green of Kotzebue, who visited Haines and Skagway to help collect testimonials, asked that Northern District labels remain the same. But he says no other member made a similar request.
Nobody likes to see change, but we've seen throughout this process that change is inevitable. And if it wasn't, you know, the Southeast numbers that were changing or Fairbanks area numbers that were changing, it would have been somebody else.
Some worry that will confuse some voters. Mike Miller is a retired lawmaker who used to represent Juneau, Haines, and Skagway in the House. He says people will figure it out. But he wonders about the wholesale rearrangement of election district labels.
It seems to me that the numbers and the letters should be as close to the present existing designations as possible, just because people at the present time know what district they are living in for representative and what district they're in for senator.
Board staffers are putting finishing touches on legislative district boundaries. Bickford says a few changes could still be made before the final June 14th deadline. Alaska Alaska's redistricting board's revised map of the state's 20 Senate and 40 House districts immediately brought harsh reactions from some residents of small communities such as Skagway. Some spoke out against the choices, saying they're afraid they'll be forgotten in the shadow of larger towns in their new district. Juneau's state senator is responding to concerns that nearby communities will lose representation under the new legislative boundaries. The board added Skagway, Petersburg, Gustavus, and Tanaki Springs to Juneau's downtown-based House district. Democratic Senator Dennis Egan represents that district, plus one based in Mendenhall Valley. He says he will not ignore needs outside Juneau, including capital projects.
No matter who we represent or how anything is split up, nobody is going to get a decrease in representation. We all work well together, Republicans and Democrats, and nobody, at least as far as I think, are going to lose any representation.
Juneau's two House members have also said they'll help meet the needs of Skagway, Petersburg, and other towns. Democrat Beth Kurtula represents the district slated to absorb the communities. Republican Kathy Munoz represents Juneau's Northern House District. Petersburg and Kuprianov now share a House district with Sitka and Wrangell. They share a Senate seat with Ketchikan and Saxman. Gustavus and Tanaki Springs now share a House district with Haines, Cordova, Angoon, Hoonah, and other small southeast cities. They share a Senate district with dozens of interior Alaska villages and towns. Community leaders have said their needs could be dwarfed by Juneau's, since the capital city is so much larger. Overall, Southeast is losing one House and half a Senate district due to population shifts. The redistricting board continues meeting. Its plans are expected to be challenged in court. The draft plan was created from two drafted options and two alternatives that residents were able to comment on. There were also several private plans submitted to the redistricting board, which are still available for view at akredistricting.org, some of which do group Haines and Skagway in the same district, as the two boroughs requested. The board meets Monday for a final review of its adopted draft plan in preparation for the official proclamation of redistricting the next day. The board meetings are all public. More information at akredistricting.org. An old cemetery is getting a new life. For the past year and a half, locals have been working to revive the Clinkett burial site at 3.5 mile Haines Highway, across the road from the Haines Airport.
So it's time to have a rededication and celebrate what's been done.
Rod Henson is the tribal youth coordinator with Search Clinic and the Chilkoot Indian Association. Much of the work started with a grant from the History Channel's Save Our History project. And as Henson explains, there is a lot of history there to preserve.
A lot of the graves don't have names on them. And there are several on the lower section there that have been robbed in years past. And information that we have that actually when they put the road through, the very tip of the cemetery was just bulldozed off into the flats out there by the airport. And for years they would find headstones out there where they pushed off the dirt. So it has not been respected in the past the way it should have been, and hopefully this will improve the looks and get people to appreciate what's there and respect it more.
With help from AmeriCorps volunteer Fred Brulette, dozens of volunteers took months to clear up the area that was once so overgrown you couldn't see the highway from the cemetery.
We've had dozens of people stop to look that had been on that road all their life and never realized that the cemetery was so big. So now it's opened up to the public where you can see it and you can go in there and observe the history that's there.
The group also turned out almost 1,000 spindles and built the new fences that you can see framing grave sites, some as old as the late 1800s.
Well, the cemetery is one of the older ones in this area. The oldest grave dates back to 1872, so that was right about the same time that outsiders started showing up here and the Clinkett started to bury people in organized cemeteries.
When Fort William H. Seward was built in Haines a few years later, the project contractor used spare lumber to build fences around all of the graves that were at 3.5 mile in 1904.
Over the course of 100+ years, weather and animals and people have taken their toll on them, and they were all down. So we applied for this grant, and we were one of only 11 that were given out in the entire United States, and we were able to reclaim the cemetery.
The rededication ceremony at the cemetery located at 3.5 mile Haines Highway is Friday, June 10th, at 5 p.m. It's followed by a potluck dinner at Clinkett Park in Haines. And it won't be your typical cemetery ceremony, although there's no telling what a rededication ceremony might look like.
We're not really sure. It will include drumming, but owning a drum is not a factor in being there. We want everyone to attend.
Skagway is having their first running marathon this weekend. The first runners in what's planned to be an annual marathon and half marathon will start at the ferry terminal on Saturday, June 11th at 9 a.m. Then, as Eve at the Skagway Convention and Visitors Bureau says, they'll follow north down Broadway, turn west on First to Alaska Street, then north to the Skagway River Pedestrian Bridge.
North along the highway to the Dyea Road. The full marathon route will continue along the Dyea Road, across West Creek Bridge. Once across the bridge, bear to the left up to the J. Fry Memorial Footbridge.
The halfway point and turnaround for the full marathon is where the road dead ends past the J. Fry Pedestrian Bridge. There'll be aid stations along the way and no entrance fee for runners in the half and full marathon. The municipality of Skagway is covering costs of the marathon for the first year, and many other local businesses have pitched in to make it happen. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News.